Bibles, please turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we are going to read the first six verses together. John chapter 14. Man, is it hot in here? Or is it just me? Okay. Mrs. Barnes still has her coat on, so it's still warm. if she takes it off, we're all passed out. Trust me. She was telling me this week, oh, it was such a beautiful day. She said, I had the windows down, I was driving around. She said, this is the perfect temperature. She looked at the thermometer, said 91. God bless you. No, she was born at the equator. but we're not going any farther. All right, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And we'll read this portion responsively. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, anoint me. Allow me to help your people. Lord, you've been very good to us. We're so thankful. God, I pray that you just help us today, please. Would you help us to have this truth burn deeply and change us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The word home is one of the most wonderful, comforting, happy words that I know. I don't know about you, but the word home means something to me. I want you to notice something. I didn't say house. I said home. There's a difference between where you live and your home. It's not the four walls that make it home. It's the people inside. My wife and I have lived in 9 different houses, and we are building our tents. But we've had one home. We've been several different states, but we've had one home. We have a society that values things more than relationships with people. It doesn't matter how big or how small your house is. How's your home? It doesn't matter how fancy or how plain your house is. How's your home? Matters not what neighborhood you live in. How's your home? How is your relationship with the people who live in your household? A house is made of wood. A home is made of people.
That's right.
Say that again. A house is made of wood. A home is made of people. Here in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking about home. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I tell you something? I want you to notice the relationship. The first thing he said is, in my Father's house. That's the relationship. Hey, let me tell you about my daddy and where he's at. Where I came from and where I'm headed back to. Jesus was talking about home. He was talking about a relationship. He wasn't talking about the actual physical structural building that God lived in. He was just talking about, I'm going back to where home is. Jesus came so that God could have his home full of the people whom he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten what? That's a relationship. Father, son. that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Where? With the Father. Jesus came to give God a house full of people whom he loved. Now, he wants to be daddy. He wants to, matter of fact, in the book of Romans, it says that we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba means daddy. It literally is the word daddy in Greek, in Hebrew. But he's not just an earthly daddy. He wants to be our eternal father.
That's right.
The house in which you live does not make your home. The people and the relationships with the people inside your house is what makes your home. Tonight, I want to give you a couple thoughts about what the Bible says about the home. By the way, I don't want to just give you an informational type message. I'd like you to take it home and practice it. I'd like you to take a biblical view of your own home. Number one, you ready? Everybody smile. I love you. Your family is those who live in your home. Not just those who share your DNA. Your family, your home, are those who live in your household, not just those who share your DNA. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And I want you to look at verse number 6. Psalm 68, verse number 6, the Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. Solitary, that means somebody living by themselves, correct? He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I want you to notice he said, I'll put the solitary in with families. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Look at verse number 41. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Folks, whoever lives in your household is your home. Now, if it's just you, you have a home of one. If you have trouble getting along with everybody in your house, you're in trouble. it may be two. My wife and I are down to 9 months a year, just the two of us living there. Before too long, it'll be that way permanently, I'm sure. Now, wait a minute. At one time, we had five people living at home. But, no, my dog's not a people. All right? She thinks she's a people, but she's not. Right? It's a dog. For a house to be a home, everyone has to make an effort to have a close relationship. You have to learn to have a close relationship. We live in a society of a lot of divorced and remarried situations. Did you know your stepchildren, your stepparents, those are part of your home? And they may spend part of the time in your home and part in their other part of their family's home. Right. Do you know you must accept that part of your family as your family too? It was. Please don't take this the wrong way. It's part of the package deal. And if you're not willing to, you're going to destroy the home in which you live. Make it as enjoyable. You say, well, I don't agree. Nobody said you had to agree with everybody in your family. Sure. But you can keep your mouth shut and not make it so that it's war every time. For a house to be a home, everyone has to make an effort to be close by relationship. Parents, listen to me. I believe one of the best things you can do for your young people is send them to Bible college and make them live in the dorms for a year. Because for the first time in their life, they have to live with somebody they're not related to and learn how to get along. Dorm life is as close to married life as you can get before you get married, biblically. It really is. Let's face it, a kid doesn't live usually with somebody that they're not related to in some shape, form, fashion, or another. But when you go to college and you got 2, 3, 4, 5 roommates, and you got to live with them, you got to get along, like it or lump it. You got to put up with the good, the bad, the snoring, and everything else. You got to put up with the ones that are clean and the ones that aren't clean. And you got to help everybody get along. And dorm life is very important for a young person to learn in that realm. There is more to home than DNA. My daughter-in-law is my daughter. She's not DNA genetically related to me, but while we were in Florida, she was my daughter. She still is. She called me Dad. It's funny. For the provost, and I'd be sitting there, and she'd say, Dad, and we both say, yep. She said, you two are too much alike. We even have the same ringtone on our phones. He lives in Florida, I live here. We have the same ringtone for our phones. It's hilarious. It just drives her crazy. Now, wait a minute. She's as much of my daughter in my wife and I's thinking as my daughter Melinda is. You say, why is that? She's part of our family. When my son and she got married and they became one, they became part of our family. Now, they don't live in my house. Praise the Lord. I don't want to feed them. Amen. Feed bill I took care of. It's his turn to take care of his own feed bill now. Wait a minute. It doesn't mean that I would always agree with what they do, but that's their home, not my home. They're my family, but they're not part of my home anymore. You don't always have to think the same way in your home. Did you know that men and women don't think the same way? I know that's a shocker. Yeah, you just do what she says and you're all right, huh? You know, you're not always going to understand each other. Good night. There's times you ladies don't even understand yourself. It's all right. But did you know whether fellas, you can understand a woman. You can understand that even she doesn't understand sometimes, and it's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why they married you, because they weren't stable without you. Some of them would be more stable without you, but you can love and care even though you don't understand everything. I'm not here to pretend I understand how women feel. Mm-mm. Or how they think. I know what they think often, and I can understand that they do think that way. I don't think that way. I can watch two ladies run up to each other and they just grab onto each other and hug. But there's something not quite right when a man walks up and says, "Can I hug you?" There's just something that's not quite right about that. You know, it just, there's something that makes you just go back to your childhood and you just want to, as they're coming in close, amen? Now, wait a minute. Yeah, go hug a tree or something, but not a bush, amen? That was pretty good, wasn't it? My dad even smiled on that one. Yeah, buddy. Oh, wait a minute. That's going to be one of those that get put on my gravestone. Yeah. You know, there is more to your home, though, than DNA. Can I tell you something? Learn to accept your in-laws. Your mother-in-law and your father-in-law ought to be mom and dad. They ought to. I thank God I have a good relationship with my in-laws. I even love my sister-in-law. You say, why? Because she lives in Texas. I'm fine. Well, it's not after the... never mind. Now, as your household changes, so changes your home. As my children leave, they're no longer part of my home. They're part of my family, but they're not part of my home. Josh and Jeff have both moved out. Now, they're welcome to come home to visit, but not to stay. Matter of fact, they don't even know where their new one is. There's no keys for it, amen? Now, wait a minute. As your household changes, so changes your home. It changed when you brought those babies home. You say, well, that's adding too. Well, it happens as they go out the door as well. And you have to accept they're no longer part of your home. Some of the hardest things to do as parenting adult children is to not be mommy and daddy to them. You got to let them grow up and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. You're there to help, but you're not there to run their home. Everybody doing okay? Let them enjoy their home. Let them enjoy their in-laws' home. You know, I don't fight with the kids whether they're going to be with the provost or us at a holiday. Say why? It's their home, not mine. And I know what it's like living in the ministry on a shoestring. You don't always have the money to go from Miami to West Virginia. I get it. I don't always have the money to go down there. I get it. Say, what is that? They're building their home. About a year ago, they said, Dad, we're going to start doing some Christmas traditions for our own home. I said, good for you. That's the way it should be. He said, you're not mad? I said, why would I be mad? That's what we've done. You weren't here for that part of it. Oh, okay. I didn't want you upset. I said, I'm not upset. I said, I'm for it. If you have step situations, learn to enjoy each other in your home. Let them enjoy when they're not in your home and they're with the other part of their family. And don't criticize it. It comes with it. Embrace it. You wonder why everything's strained. Maybe you ought to just... By the way, please don't take this the wrong way. It's not the child's fault. They didn't do it. It's just the way it is. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
All right. Number two. Home is a place of comfort, rest, enjoyment, and eating. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? We need to eat more at home. I believe in eating at home. My wife and I eat out a little, but not all the time. We enjoy being home. We enjoy sitting at the table. Supper time's always been family time. When the kids were little, as they've grown up, some of the hardest times my wife and I have gone through as the kids leave is the table's not as full as it used to be. I get that, but we still enjoy sitting down eating dinner together. By the way, heaven is going to be a place where we eat. Do you ever think after the rapture, what's the first thing we're going to do? The marriage feast of the Lamb. We're going to sit down and have a feast first in heaven. One of the first things we're going to do in heaven is going to eat, amen, and I'm not going to get any fatter. And if I do, it won't be sinful. you know, home is supposed to be a place that's enjoyable. Eating is enjoyable. At least it's supposed to be. Supper time shouldn't be war time. It ought to be a time to talk and to laugh and somewhat carry on, not have food fights. Not spitting food at each other, but it ought not be a battle. Home is not to be boot camp or a slave labor camp. Too many times, and I understand what it's like to rear kids, but they're not your slaves. Maybe they wouldn't be as hard to deal with if you didn't work them like barred mules. Yeah, there's projects, but it's not a POW camp. You know, if their clothes have stripes on it, says POW, you know, this is not a good thing. maybe we could enjoy the work rather than endure the work. Now, there are some projects that are just work. I can see my daughter's eyes. She's thinking, doing wood is not enjoyable, Dad. But you know what? Some of the most fun memories we had were doing wood. Not her, but me and the boys. And my daughter didn't go out and cut wood and all that kind of stuff. But she and my wife, about once or twice a year, would help us stack the wood. That's the only thing that they did. And even then, they weren't stacking it. They were handing it to me because nobody could figure out how to stack it right. Because it just got to be stacked just a certain way. And they never could figure out on the fly where that one goes. It really doesn't matter. Throw it on the stinking pile. But it's okay. So I had three people handing me wood, and I'd stack it as fast as they could hand it to me. And it's all right. But we'd laugh. We'd carry on. We'd giggle. We'd get hot. We'd do all kinds of things. Can I tell you something? You're going to have duties in heaven, but it's not going to be a work camp. It's not. I believe in hard work. But if all you do at home is work and there's no fun, no wonder people don't want to be around. Home needs to be fun, often. People ought to want to be there. Do you talk at home? I'm not talking about talking on your telephone. I'm talking about, do you talk to the people that live in your house? I mean, sit down and talk, and you can even talk about anything. Do you think my wife and I agree about everything? Of course not. But I learn how to listen to her and say, yes, ma'am, and it's okay. Now, wait a minute. Learn to talk. Table games. And may I say this? It ought not be a competition. It ought to be fun. Now, as they get older, it gets more competitive. But, and I'm for winning. I believe in doing it. But if there's five of you, only one's going to win. You got to learn to laugh. When my kids were growing up, we had a lot of laughter at home. We played tickle. Amen. We did all kinds of things. When I was growing up, my dad would get on the floor with us. We'd clear the room. We'd wrestle. My mom would have to go to another part of the house. She was, you're going to hurt them boys. Good. He'd throw us around. We'd jump on him and crawl all over him. He'd throw us off the wall, and somebody would invariably cry, and then somebody get mad, and then we're tickling, and we care. Those are some of the best memories I have growing up. We weren't hurt that bad. Good night. We were learning how to get along with one another, how to have fun, how to break things in the living room and blame it on Dad. he can fix it. It's all right. You tell Mom you did it, Dad. Learn to have humor. Learn, you know, the day I was going to reach in the room and turn the light switch on in my son's room, and at about 5:45, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I reached for the door switch, and somebody grabbed my hand in the dark. Let me tell you, I screamed. I had done it so many times for so many years, he finally decided, and he was up one morning just in time to grab that thing as I did it. Lord have mercy. The whole house woke up after that one. And it's a good thing my heart was in good shape. You say, did you get mad? No. I sat on the floor and laughed after I figured out what it was, but man, did it scare the bejeebers out of me. Yes, I did. Home is not a place where you connect to the Wi-Fi, sit there, and everybody plays on their phone and their iPads. Home's a place where you throw all that stuff away and say, let's sit down and talk. Let's go play. Let's go throw a ball. Let's go take the guns for a walk. Let's go do something. We can take the guns for a walk. That's called groundhog hunting in the Bush family, amen? Y'all think I'm kidding. That's what the term was. Let's go take the gun for a walk, amen? Heaven is God's home. Did you know that you don't find slave labor in heaven? It's not there. Home is made by the people and the relationships, not what gets done. Did you know that whatever project you have, more than likely it could wait another day? but you don't have your kids forever. You may not have your husband or wife forever. I wonder, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I'm sure Brother Stoltz left some duties undone at home. But I hope everybody had their relationship right. That's the key. The relationship's more important than the duties. Learn that everyone does not always have the same definition of fun. Did you know my definition of fun and my wife and daughter's definition of fun are two totally different things? Now me, fun, going out, sitting in a tree stand, shooting a deer, gutting a deer and bringing it home and taking care of it. Amen, Brother Mike? My wife and daughter don't seem to understand why that's fun. They just don't quite get it. And I don't quite get what's fun about going to the mall, walking around 14,236 stores, trying on the same thing in 70 stores, and going back to the first store and getting it where the first stop was. Amen. Now, I don't understand how that's fun, but they do. Say, what do? I walk along. Yes, dear. Yes, ma'am. I took my daughter shopping. She wanted to take me on a date for Father's Day. So we went out, ate, and she said, do whatever you want, Dad, good. I took her, and I bought her a dress. That's what I wanted to do. That was fun for me. And then she had to have something else that went with it, so we had to go to another store. And then to another one. And then we finally got it all right? I was glad she stopped there, and we didn't have to go to shoes and then accessories and everything else, and she's marrying the toe-headed idiot to take care of that, all right? So, but learn that not everybody's definition of fun is the same. And you better learn how to have fun at somebody else's fun level, not just your own. Did you know that 8-year-old's fun and 18-year-old's fun is different? And learn to have fun at both. Learn to have fun at the baby stage when they're, you know, they're crawling around and slobbering everywhere and doing all that. There are some things that they do that's fun. You know, you put lemon juice or pickle juice in their mouth and watch them like that, and that's fun, all right? Let everybody pick something fun and learn how to enjoy it. In our house, we would let somebody pick something that was fun, and then the next time it was somebody else's turn, next time somebody else's. Did we all like it? No, but we had fun doing it. By the way, don't complain if it's not your idea of fun. You'll get to choose later. That's how it works. Number three. I got to hurry up here. Home is a place where people should be able to communicate, not compete. Home is a place where people ought to communicate, not compete. My family is a bit competitive, if you didn't notice. But may I say this, at home, really we're not. Now we do it more for fun and spite than anything, but when the kids were little, it was a lot of fun. I'm not in competition with my wife. I'm not competing with my wife for my daughter's attention. Nor is my wife competing with me for my daughter's attention. Nor do I compete with my wife for my boy's attention. Don't do it. Say why. We communicate. Well, Mom said I could do this. Well, let me check with Mom. Okay. Well, Dad said I could. Okay, let me check with Dad. You know, we figured that story out a long time ago. Well, Dad said, well, let's see what Dad really said. It's not where we have to scream, holler, and yell and throw things to be heard. 29 plus years, my wife and I have been married. I have not yelled at my wife, nor she me. We decided before we ever got married we weren't going to scream and holler at each other. Does that mean we always agree? Mm-mm. But we don't yell at each other. We might go outside and yell at ourselves for a while, but we're not going to yell at each other. It's a place where we listen and care about what somebody says. can I tell you something? We need to learn to listen to each other in our homes. If somebody has to tell you 237 times and you still say, "What? I didn't know that," it's as though you don't care. Do you care enough to listen to where you'll remember something? Listening not just to hear what is said for the moment, but listening to put it into the memory bank so that it's there from now on. It's a place where we love each other enough to remember, as much as we can, what was said before. There are some things my wife probably said 20 years ago I still remember. You know, I pay attention to my wife, my daughter, my kids. I can look into their eyes and tell you, are they not feeling well? Are they tired? Something wrong? I can see my wife when she has a headache before anybody. I can look in my daughter's eyes and tell her she's tired before she knows she's tired. There's times she won't FaceTime or whatever with me because she doesn't want me to see her eyes. Say why? Because she's going to say, Dad knows what's going on. I know what the look is. Say why? Because I paid attention to it. And I've seen it enough that I remember it so that I know what's coming. I don't have to say, what's wrong? What's wrong? I can look at my wife and say, do you have a headache? Yeah, just starting. Okay, what you need? Need anything? Nope, okay. And by the way, when they say, nope, don't need anything, quit bothering them about it. You don't need to keep pushing that button. Say, well, I'm trying to be helpful. When you're not feeling well, that's not always helpful to some. It's a place we can differ in opinion without getting mad or taking it personally. My wife and I don't always have the same opinion. But as long as it's, I don't care. There's certain things on the new house. I just said, whatever you want, go for it. It's all yours. Well, what do you think? I don't know. What do you want? We were in one of the airports on our way to Florida, and she got an idea. And she said, I just don't know if I could make that work. I said, well, let's try to figure it out. We took about 10 or 15 minutes in the airport and figured out something that she wanted for decor and got it situated just like she wanted. I said, now put it on that piece of paper, and when we get back, file that thing away, and we'll get working on that thing. And we will. But it was her idea. I just helped her make it work. Y'all understand that? Say, is it what you would have chosen? Doesn't matter. It's what she wants. That's hers. I like it. I think it's neat. But I wouldn't have thought of it. But I'm not thinking about that. That's hers. Home is a place where everyone gets a chance to lead or to choose. You know, there's times I let my kids choose things when they were little. My wife would have them help choose what we ate, what nights. My wife would have a list of 7 things that she was going to cook in the next week, and she'd say, okay, Josh, you pick for this day. What do you want out of all this? Okay, I want that, all right? Jeff, you pick next. And then Mindy, you pick. Now, Josh, you get to pick again. And go down the line. And they got to pick what they ate on what nights. It was that simple. But they were learning to lead. It wasn't dictatorship. Home is not to be a place where Dad or Mom or the children have to prove they're the best. We're a team and we work together. Doesn't matter who's best. Please don't take this the wrong way. But if at 50 years old I'm not better than my daughter at 20, something's wrong. I've lived 2.5 times as long as she has. I better be better at most things than her. Is that not true? So why should I try to compete? Everybody doing okay? Home is... Okay, I'm going to turn around here. Home is not a place you go to blow off steam. Home isn't the place where you go and tell everybody how bad the day at work was. can I tell you something? How can the people encourage you if all they've heard you do is blow your stack for a half hour? That really sets a good atmosphere, doesn't it? Home is not the place where you go home and complain about all your classes at school and your dumb teachers. Ouch. Home isn't the place where you go home and complain about all of your relatives. All right? Quit looking at everybody here, all right? I'm trying not to. Home isn't the place where you talk about your cranky neighbors all the time. Can I tell you something? You are the cranky neighbor, right? I saw that one coming. Now, wait a minute. Home ought to be a place where that's not allowed. My kids didn't hear when Dad had a bad day, usually. I might say, it's been a long day, give me a few minutes. But I never told them what went wrong. They may have needed to leave Dad alone for a few minutes. Let me get my thoughts. Let me get myself into home mode and get out of work mode and get out of kill somebody as fast as you can mode. Everybody gets into those mental states, and you just got to go through the exercises to get out of them. But may I say this, don't go home and blow your stack every day about how bad everything is. No wonder nobody enjoys going home. My drive home used to be the time to blow that off. And even then, I didn't think about it. I just started thinking about things that weren't work-related. We live in a world that we think we have to tell everybody everything we're thinking. It's a good thing I don't tell everybody everything I'm thinking. Believe me. Lastly, and I'm done with this, make home a place that is spiritual but not spooky. Okay, being spiritual is not spooky stuff. Okay, I counseled a man today for about an hour, and he said, "You know, kind of like I said, yeah, spirituality is not spooky." He said, "Now that's a good term." I said, "Yeah, too many people think being spiritual means being spooky, like Casper the Ghost or something. It's just kind of weird stuff, you know." Did you know that people can read the Bible at home? And you don't have to inspect what they're reading? Yeah. I would ask my children from time to time, "Are you reading your Bible?" But I never asked them what they read. I didn't give them a quiz on what they read. They had to learn to walk with God. Now, we prayed together. We sang. Well, they sang. I kind of made noise. My daughter, when she was little, thought I was the best singer in the world. Every night, we'd sing by her bed, and I'd kneel down and sing and pray with her at night before she'd go to sleep. She was the only person in the world that liked my singing. But can I tell you something? Yeah, I ain't doing it no more. Now, wait a minute. But I never... All right, what did you pray about? If she had to go see somebody for advice, I didn't say, "Well, what did you go see them for?" Because can I tell you something? They needed to have other leaders other than me. Because I don't have them in my home the rest of their life. They better learn how to find good advice elsewhere. Let good music be in your home. We got to have good music. The music of today will destroy your home if you're not careful. Have spiritual lessons that are practical to life. When you're pulling 3 wheelbarrow loads of weeds out of the flower beds, and it's 90 degrees outside, and the sweat's pouring off everybody, it's a good time to say, "Did you know where these weeds came from?" Came from sin. The sweat that you're dripping off right now came because of sin. And it's to remind us that we're sinners. Those are great lessons to teach children. They really are. When you got hurt because you disobeyed. You know, you weren't supposed to jump from here to there and you did and you busted your lip open or your head open or something, you learn real fast. Yeah, if you'd obey, good things happen. When you disobey, bad things happen. It's a real simple lesson to learn. Those are scriptural principles. You can teach them to kids that are that tall and kids that are that tall. It's real simple. Sowing and reaping. Man, we'd be planting plants outside. We'd throw seeds in the garden. The kids would say, what's that? I said, just wait. They'll grow. Boy, before too long, they're growing and growing, and then they're producing fruit, and they start seeing sowing and reaping. You can take life lessons and teach them very simply. It, everything you do. Home should be a place of biblical principle in action. That's what it is. In my Father's house. It's a relationship. We talk about going to heaven and how wonderful it's going to be. Don't you think you could have a little bit of heaven on earth in your home? It ought to be more like heaven than the other place. Too many homes today are more of where the booger man lives than heaven. Screaming and hollering. Everybody's got to, me first. I got to have my way. I got to have this. I got. Good night. Make home a place everybody enjoys. I want home to be a place people would like to come. I like going there. To me, it's one of the, Deb and I were traveling back from Miami. We got to the airport, and I told her, I said, I have loved being with the kids, but I can't wait to get home. Home. It's not the building. It's the people. It's where you're at. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. How's your home? How's your relationship with those with whom you live?